George, George mows my yard. Love covers a multitude of sin. Now, we've got 5 billion people on this earth doing this. Jesus asked us to stop it. The Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. You're standing in a line of people, and the first guy turns around and slaps the second guy. And the next guy slaps the next guy. And the next guy slaps the next guy. And the next guy slaps the next guy. And the next guy slaps you, and you turn to the guy behind you and say, I love you. That's Christian. That's Christian. We overcome evil with what? Good. We don't overcome evil with nothing. No, we overcome it doing good. Look at Jesus when the ultimate evil is perpetrated on him. He is nailed to the cross. His hands are tacked to a tree. His feet are tacked to the tree. Folks, he can't move. He can't get off. And this is his thought. Father, forgive them. They don't know. He goes to praying for his enemies. You imagine, folks, do you think that'd be the thought that would enter your mind if you were somebody who was nailing you to a tree? You'd go to thinking, oh my God, we need to forgive. I need to cover this sin. That's what Christianity is. When are we going to quit making Christianity some pie-in-the-sky stuff and make it something real? It's real. It's real. It's a real way. It may be narrow and bumpy, but it's a real way. You might have to get out of the car and no longer ride the car. You might have to walk it to walk around the potholes or to jump over them. Maybe you can't drive a car down it. I don't know. Maybe your air-conditioned house can't go down it. I don't know. See, it may be a different path. Might have to give up some of the comforts. Maybe the dog track can't go down it. I don't know. Maybe it won't fit. You're the one that has to decide what can go down the path in your life. But don't kid ourselves into thinking that there's no difference in these paths. There is. There is a difference. One of them is full of tribulations and trials that you have willingly accepted. The willingness to suffer without the desire to get even. You look at the path and you say, yeah, I know that sucker's bumpy. It's dark. I see trees hanging over the road. It looks like it's tough to get into. But I'm going to walk it. Because this other one, I've seen it walked for centuries. I've read about what happened to it being walked, and it's madness. It's God's creation gone mad down that path. Down one of these paths, you would walk in a spirit of love, and the other you'd walk in a spirit of law. There's a difference, folks. Down the spirit of law is justified violence. Somebody steals your car, you lock the sucker up. Down the other path, somebody steals your car, you let them have it. Now, we may not like that. That's the words of Jesus. He didn't say car, but he said, if somebody robs your property, let them have it. And folks, he was not talking of some hanky-panky in the sky. He was talking to a people that the Romans had come in and confiscated their property. He said, when somebody steals your property, let them have it. We don't like to talk like that, do we? Well, we either need to throw this thing away or believe it. Now, I said that in front of a bishop one day, and he said, you can't do that. I said, Bishop, you're the one that told me to do it. What do you mean? I took the Vatican II document out, and I read it to him, and he says, I need to go home and read that. Folks, we don't know what a mess we're in. I need to go home and read it. Down one of these paths is service. Down the other is survival. You walk down one path and your motive is to serve, and down the other path it's to survive. Remember, you got to change your mind from the way mom and daddy taught you, the way America taught you, the way Russia taught you, the way the Philippines taught you, the way, I don't care where you are, you got to change your mind from the way they taught you. Because they all teach you that we got something that's right. If people would just do it like us. No, God has something that's right, and it's been revealed in the person of Jesus. And if we'd just do it like that, things would be all right. A Christian's motive is not to survive. Survival is guaranteed to a Christian. A Christian's motive is to serve. Isn't that true? Isn't survival guaranteed? You follow this way and it leads to life. You serve and it leads to life. Survival's guaranteed. Father John L. McKenzie, that I use a lot, in the 19... you know when we were building bomb shelters real hot and heavy? That was the 50s, wasn't it? Father John L. McKenzie used to sit on a panel of people on TV. They had him as a priest. They had a lawyer, a doctor, an educator. And they would throw questions out to this group, and they'd have an hour discussion on TV on it. And the question thrown out this particular time, and Father McKenzie was always very outspoken, the question thrown out this time, they put a Christian in a bomb shelter. One Christian in a bomb shelter, and there was room for one person and enough food for one person. And somebody knocked on the door and wanted in. What does the Christian do? So the talk went on for 45 minutes, and Father McKenzie never said a word. Finally, the guy that was the moderator said, "Father McKenzie, you haven't opened your mouth. I mean, they're having all kinds of discussion about what to do." And he says, "Well, because to a Christian, there's no problem here." He says, "What do you mean?" He said, "The Christian gets out and lets the guy in." Survival is not the motive of a Christian. Service is. The Christian gets out. Down one of these paths is cooperation, and down the other is competition. And I'll tell you, you spend your life competing with people, and you will be different than a person that has spent their life cooperating with people, trying to help other people achieve their goals, instead of trying to compete with people and be better at achieving my goals than the other person. I want to tell you that competition is evil. Competition is a demon spirit. Folks, you think about the ways we promote it, and it may make us sick. And we wonder what's wrong with our children. You ever saw a kid that really liked himself, that sat in the classroom and everybody was making good grades and he was making F's? See, we promote competition from this age. And we wonder what happens to the insides of human beings. It's wrong, folks, and it destroys them, and we're going to see it more and more because we're getting better and better at it. We wonder why our kids are all, a good portion of them, getting on dope. We wonder why who they sleep with don't make any difference. Folks, we destroyed the very God that's in them. We're teaching them something that is absolutely against what this was made to do. I was made to be a lover. And competition kills love in you. How in God's name can I love George and try to beat his brains out? That's a big lie. But we just swallowed it hook, line, and sinker because it is the American way. I'm going to tell you it is wrong. I'm going to say it over and over and over. If somebody blows my brains out saying it, it is wrong. It is evil. It is diabolical. It's from the devil. you tell me I'm serving a God that's a competitor, and when we people go to kill him, he dies. You will not see one ounce of competition in the life of Jesus. No, not one. And you'll see, you hear an Apostle Paul, that folks, he knew what competition was, and he turned his back on it. That's what he had been taught. You saw a guy walk around preaching, you ought to treat other people as though they're better than you. You remember Balaam's arrow, don't you? Balaam didn't have to curse God, folks. All he had to do is go over and live where the people lived different than God. And pretty soon everybody did it that way. And I want to tell you, that's where we are. We just might as well admit that. That's where we are. I praise God for you precious saints. Because I don't think y'all learned that. You just don't know how much we, in this secular world, know that. You don't know how much. I'm going to tell you, my whole life is rooted in the fact that if you're not a good competitor, buddy, you just won't make it. You got to beat somebody. Big dog gets the bomb. Guy that works the hardest gets the most. Ah, that's not from God, folks. See, God's fed the world, friends. We're just eating the poor people's part of it. There's enough food on the world. There's enough here. Just some people's some people have got the technology to grow it. Other people don't have the technology. So we say technology's God. You ought to get technology and you could have it. No, we got the technology, you ought to feed them. See the difference in thinking? That's that competitive spirit. We're the big guy. Now I'm going to show you what happens to the big guy and what he does to the little guy. Peru takes more fish out of the ocean than any nation on this earth. Peru does. Peru's one of the hungriest nations on the earth. Now that really sounds silly, isn't it? That nation takes more fish out of the ocean on this earth than any other nation, but their people starve. You know why? The fish is sold to America to feed our dogs and our cats. That's what happens with competition. The winner, you know, he makes the rest of the world do whatever it wants. We'll give you some money for your food. We don't think about the fact they're starving. So we can feed our cats and our dogs. Folks, this is a fact that I'm talking about. Most of the poor nations of this world grow a cash crop to sell to some foreign power instead of growing food to feed their people. Haiti's one of them. Haiti, the fertile part of their land, grows sugar cane to ship to America. It used to grow corn and wheat. We don't need any corn and wheat. We can grow more than we can use. We don't know, folks. I'm going to tell you what. You're sitting right now. I can't imagine judgment being any worse on any group of people on this earth than where I live, because we have the ability to do something about what's going on in this world, and we don't. The only people we feed is somebody who will give us an Air Force base, a landing strip to land our war machines, and we'll feed them. But it's always arrows, tit for tat. We'll send you wheat. You let us have an airstrip. Philippines really knows that, don't they? Oh, do you ever know it? Now, the only reason we're their friends, folks, is they sit in a very strategic place. And you let them kick us out off that base, we don't feed anybody there anymore. But that's the spirit of competition. What if we help the poor person? They might become big and be a threat. You ever seen a basketball team when they're playing and they get somebody down 45 points, say, oh, we need to let up and let them get 40 points and make this a game. Oh, no. Son, pour it on. That's the spirit of competition. It's evil. It's diabolical. Down one of these paths is peace, and down one's war. And folks, I don't mean peace with somebody's foot on your neck. I don't mean a coerced peace. I mean a peace that you just have. It's a peace that's in your heart. Absence of war is not peace. It is not. Peace is something you have or you don't have. Peace is an inner thing. Self-giving or self-gratification. You go down one path, and it's a self-giving path. You go down the other path, and it's a self-gratification path. I'm going to do what makes me feel good. Now, boy, could I go around the room now and say, what do you do that makes you feel good? And we could just go to naming all kinds of... Well, a lot of people are sitting here because it makes them feel good. Wrong reason to be here, folks. If you walk out of here and do something... And you're here for the right reason. But if it just makes you feel good, I love being around them Christian guys. You know, I know old David loves me. If he's not, he's the biggest hypocrite in the world. He's telling me if I slap him, he won't slap me back. I'm no threat. It's fun being around him. No competition with that guy. Yielding or conquering. How about that for a path? Walk down one of those paths, folks, and you yield. When confrontation comes up, you yield. You don't fight, you yield. You walk down the other path and you try to conquer. What did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? Did he conquer or did he yield? He would yield. He always would yield. Folks, Jesus was God. He had something real to say in this world. He didn't need to come if we hadn't got so fouled up. That's the reason he came. So don't let this sound radical. This is radical to us because we have become radically evil. Cain slew his brother. That's radically evil. Am I my brother's keeper? You are. We are. The message of Jesus sounds radical because as we have looked at the world and done the way they do, we are opposed to God. So this message sounds radical. But it's because we're the one that's radical. Or both are radical. One of them's root right and one's root wrong. That's what the word radical means, root. One of them is the root of what's wrong, and the other is the root of what's right. Down one of these paths is love your enemy, and down the other path is keep the powder dry. We're living in that period right now, folks. We're keeping the powder dry because there's going to be a problem one day. That same keep the powder dry is keep building missiles and keep building this and keep building that, because bless God, one day we're going to have it, and we're going to still be the biggest. Or you can walk down a path of loving your enemy. And folks, when you walk down the path of keeping the powder dry, you're not loving your enemy. What's on your mind? You're thinking about how to retaliate when them suckers do something. And if you're practicing retaliation all the time, do you think you're going to become a lover? No, we all know that. Down one of these paths is Christian ethics. Down another path is rational ethics. And there's a difference, folks. Rational ethics says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Christian ethics say don't resist the wicked man. There's a difference in rational ethics and Christian ethics. Down one of these paths is Christian poverty. Down the other path is artificial needs. You name your artificial needs in your life. I need of this and I need of that and I need to go on an expensive vacation every year, and I need to... Down one of these paths is a cross, and down one of them is a sword. There's a difference in carrying the sword on your shoulder and a cross on your shoulder. There's a difference. Why do we carry a cross? I wonder why Jesus said, pick up your cross daily and follow me. Why did Jesus carry his cross? Huh? Yeah, but what was he carrying it up the hill for? Somebody's going to nail him to it, weren't they? That's why you carry your cross. You walk around with a thing on your shoulder and somebody slaps you, they nail you to the cross. You turn your cheek. That's why you carry your cross. Somebody steals from you, you let them have it. You just got nailed to the cross. You yield. Down one of these paths is an old man. Down the other path, the new man. Down one of these paths is St. Francis. Down one of them, George Washington. Different paths, folks. Different paths. Down one of these paths is Christ, and down one, Caesar. Different paths. Caesar don't ever walk like Christ, folks. He walks the way of darkness, the way of death, the way of competition, the way of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Down one of these paths is God, and down the other path is Mammon. Any of you ever wonder what... Let me give you Father McKenzie's definition of Mammon. Everything having economic value measured in price. Everything having economic value measurable in price. Any useful material thing which can be bought, sold, or stockpiled. Here is one of the amazing things that grabs me with those words. Anything that can be bought, sold, and stockpiled. And I always thought that the only thing that you could buy, sell, and stockpile was tangible things, things you could touch. That was just always an automatic conclusion of mine. But I said something to you this week that sounds different than that. If you can buy your health, you can stockpile your health. Now you just think about it. You be a part of this system that has great insurance, great money, and buys education and stockpiles the education from one generation to another, or if you can buy peace. These are intangible things, folks, that are mammon. And you cannot serve God and mammon. Because you'll either hate one and love the other, or you'll love the one and hate the other. You can't walk both of these paths at the same time. It is an impossibility, and as I said in the beginning, if you walk down this narrow path with the trials and the tribulations being transformed, you're going to be a different person after 5 years than you are walking down this path for 5 years. Matter of fact, most of us, if you're sitting here and you never really made a decision to walk this path, you just start assessing your life where you are today, and look what walking this way for 40 years, 42 years, 45 years, 50 years has done to you. Look at the turmoil that's going on in your heart, and it's because we kept the powder dry. We live by rational ethic. We artificial needs, the sword, the old man, George Washington, Caesar, Mammon, and I can just go right back down the list. Conquering, self-gratification, war, competition, survival, law, imperial line, dominative power, fear, eros, retaliation, victory, curse, death, darkness. And we wonder what's wrong with the heart, our heart. You live lie. Light, life, blessing, reconciliation, forgiveness, agape, freedom, diakonia, Lamb of God, love, service, cooperation, peace, self-giving, yielding, the new man, Saint Francis, Christ, God. We're different. You live that kind of life for 40 years, you'll be different. Lord Jesus, help us to follow you the way the truth, and the life. Help us, Lord Jesus, to make a decision here in this room over these 2 weeks to commit ourselves to practicing the presence of God on this earth, in everything and in everybody, every moment. Amen.